day would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
All right, we are back with our special two-hour extended Saturday Snack Shack Trading Post Roundtable End of the Year show. So anyway, before the break, we were talking to Mr. Mike Gaddy about the browbeating down of the German people and, you know, just what denazification programs were. And as a fellow Southern gentleman who found out all throughout my young life, going to public schools and colleges and universities, of all these learned chicken swingers and angry black people, you know, that I'm the worst thing in the world. You know, the white Southern man is only, you know, that's the only thing worse is Nazi, and they're all Amalek, so it does doesn't matter, right? But then, you know, you learn the psychology behind this, and, you know, that Marx and Freud went hand in hand in this, you know, revolution, as they call it. And I always go back to the early work of Pavlov, where he would take beautiful, healthy dogs and literally drive them insane, right, without ever laying a hand on them, just by never letting them be right, never having the right answer. And this is the infamous circle and ellipse experiments, where the dog's just trying to be a good dog, and the cruel master is keeping them from ever achieving that. And flash forward to what denazification programs were, is you are guilty of the sin that can never be forgiven. Never forgive, never forget, and never enough. And so this is the new religion of the New World Order, is Holocaustianity, which casts that spell that you could never, ever, ever question, criticize, or ridicule a chicken swinger because of the Holocaust. So, Mr. Mike Gaddy, what's your take on that?
Well, Frederick, the only thing I can tell you is, after a long discussion and I presented him with so many reading materials, he may be busy for quite some time, but I love my son-in-law. He's a good man. He's an excellent father to my grandchildren, but I told him in in a way that he would, pardon me, in a way that he would understand, I told him very simply, if you teach that crap to my grandchildren, there might be a Holocaust of one.
Oh, ouch. Okay. I mean, yeah, it is child abuse, and they know it's child abuse. You are breaking the will of a child with guilt and shame tactics, and those are very, very effective, especially on a young child that is just trying to please the adult in the room. And if you've got somebody that has mitzvahs that say they have to do everything in the world to destroy you, they might not appreciate that, you know, good dog or that good child. And, you know, just... it was shocking to me when my German students would raise their hand to ask a question. They would always do the thing where never did anything close to an open-handed raise your hand. They always had to, like, close their hand a little bit and make the little two-finger thing. Remember that? You know, oh, yeah. That it's just, you know, they can't. They're so conditioned that they just can't raise a hand, open palm hand in a classroom or any public place. You know, it's like, oh, I'm not a Nazi, I just have a question, you know. And right. That is, you know, the effect of this. And it's just like, you know, the youth here, you try to get a child from the Appalachian Mountains to say something good about their ancestors, and if they've had, you know, mandatory diversity training from these public schools, then they'll immediately say, no, my people are all bad. We did slavery, we did this, we did the other. And, you know, they will, you know, that's what I'm seeing of this youth, is they are conditioned to think that they come from bad stock, and nothing could be further from the truth. So your take on that?
Well, Frederick, let's look at something. There is those old Articles of Confederation, which most people are totally unaware of, and that is by design. But if we go back and look at our Articles of Confederation, of which was considered by the self-named Federalists to be too weak, the anti-Federalist, if we really look at the Articles of Confederation, we'll look at gentlemen that most of us have never heard of, like Thomas Burke. You're familiar with Burke County, North
yes.
Carolina, right?
Yes.
Well, Thomas Burke, in essence, wrote the Article 2 of the Articles of Confederation all by himself, and he stood up, Aedanus Burke stood up, Thomas Tudor Tucker, and there's a reason we've never heard of all these people, but they stood up for the Articles of Confederation. And the one thing the Articles of Confederation did not contain was the authorization of slavery. So did the Federalists need a convention to make slavery constitutional?
Or at least kosher.
Right? Yes. Great. Great job. Great job. Touche. Touche. You win.
We all know where those master slave laws come from. That comes from the Talmud.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, let's move on to Mr. Richard Carey. Mr. Richard Carey, Christmas present. What is jumping at you this Christmas season while you're trying to enjoy his friends and family?
Well, I can't help but think of some of the competitors that we're supposed to think are such large numbers here these days, thus the necessity to have this generic happy holidays sort of greeting. I mean, I happened to mention Kwanzaa. What's the deal with Kwanzaa? I can't help but think, and I'm sure some listeners aren't aware either. You know, the only reason I mention it is on my Apple phone, my iPhone calendar in December. That's the other one referenced, other than Hanukkah and Christmas. You know, we see Kwanzaa pointed out on my iPhone for me. Of course, you'd want to know that if you're an American iPhone user, Kwanzaa. The 26th. So I look, you know, I did a quick search here. It seems like a very fabricated, artificially manufactured holiday, quite frankly. But Kwanzaa is an annual celebration of African-American culture from December 26th to January 1st, culminating in a communal feast called Karamu, usually on the sixth day. Kwanzaa is a seven-day non-religious celebration of family culture and community. So non-religious. And of course, it ends right around New Year, so it just kind of gets one big generic holiday. Of course, there's a variety of religions in Africa, but you know, a non-religious celebration. What is this other in Britannica.com? Kwanzaa, annual holiday affirming African family and social values that is celebrated primarily in the United States from December 26th to January 1st. Both the name and the celebration were devised in 1966, only 1966, by Maulana Karigna. Karega, a professor of African studies at California State University, which makes me even more suspicious. I don't know. Do you have any commentary on it, Blackburn?
Oh, I was trying to find one of my favorite memes, and it has this white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed school teacher lighting Kwanzaa candles, right? And it says Kwanzaa basically is celebrated by white liberal kindergarten teachers, you know, nobody else, because that's the thing. Is, you know, nobody in the black community, like you said, it was completely synthetic. It's totally derivative of the whole synthetic you know, Hanukkah season, you know, with the menorahs of conquest, etc. And, you know, the person who did it, you know, had quite the criminal record, you know, so it's not something to really be proud of, but yet every community calendar now is going to have that on. That was one of the things I noticed when the chicken swingers invaded Watauga County, North Kakalaki after 9/11 and got involved in local politics. Suddenly, under the guise of diversity, inclusivity, and equity, all the local calendars now had to include not only the Christian holidays and the federal holidays, but every other social Marxist, you know, victim group holiday, right? So now, you know, there is no Christmas season in Boone. It's, you know, somewhere around Hanukkah and, you know, Kwanzaa, right? So you're just another, you know, holiday on the calendar, right? So, but yeah, Kwanzaa is just, you know, again, synthetic, but they are out there pushing it, and it's all in the name of this die diversity, inclusivity, and equity. You know, these people claiming the moral high ground on that. So that's very interesting. Other thoughts about Christmas present before we move on?
For the sake of time and brevity, let's go to the next panelist, sir.
All right, Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener, Christmas present. What jumps out at you this season?
Well, I'm just wondering if they jumped the shark with this whole thing, like they did. Someone mentioned how they locked everybody down a couple, 3-4 years ago with the COVID thing, and it was, you know, against the law together. And people aren't going to, I don't think people will go for that anymore the way they did. Not the same way, you know. And now it seems like Israel is never even going to appear to have the moral high ground again, and even in the mainstream media with normies again. And that's happening this Christmas. And I just, that's where it strikes me. It's where we are right now, you know, looking out from 2023.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's so bizarre about the global reaction to Israel after October 7th, their quote-unquote 9/11, their new Pearl Harbor, and how even though they're spending billions in marketing and recruiting, you know, salespeople to sell this idea, they are losing the, you know, PR war. Israel has a horrible image now, despite all that wonderful Hasbara effort since 2006, when that whole Hasbara program was kicked in to counter the 9/11 truth movement, I might add. And all the people that were trying to draw the connections between Israeli intelligence and the Abu Ghraib torture scandals, you know, that, you know, General Michael Hayden destroyed all that evidence. But anyway, I digress. You know, where do you think this is going to go as far as, you know, the public swinging? And the other thing, I guess, that bothers me is you have all of these white people out there not protesting chicken swingers in Israel for what they did to us and what they've been doing to us for like 2,000 years now, but because of what they're doing to the Palestinians. So again, it's this, you know, almost like a Munchausen by proxy type, you know, Stockholm syndrome and mirror image or whatever of white guilt that, oh, we have to stick up for everybody but ourselves. So yeah, it's like you're losing this PR war, but are we losing it for the right reasons? I mean, does that make any sense?
Yeah, there's also this obvious effort to link the loony left and the, I don't know what they call them, the squad with the pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, and then the Tran thing all together in this, I don't know, it just is so manufactured when you look at the way that the media spins things. It's disturbing. These sobs, like you said, they work.
Yeah, that's the problem. Psychological warfare, it works. Doesn't work all the time. You can fool some of the people some of the time, all the people all the time, but not all the people all the time, right? But
where it's going, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to try to stop feeding them less data in the future. I realize what these things that we use to communicate on, I mean, they, it's just going through it, just we consent to so much. I don't realize a lot of people do. The more I unplug from one thing, it leads to another, and it's just kind of the way it did when I started looking at what I was feeding myself, you know, and changed that, and it made. So maybe it'll make a difference in what I'm putting out here, too, over the coming future. That's what I hope. Personally, as far as things that are going to happen, I don't know. It looks like things are just going to more war. And one thing I noticed, well, there was a video of someone in Mexico, and I hadn't confirmed it, but they'd said that some of the shopkeepers down there were turning down dollars and saying, not pesos only. So that could be.
Wow. Now, that's a game changer right there. You know, we'll take pesos instead of dollars. But yeah, that's the thing. That's one of the other big awakenings is people starting to get their head around what people like Klaus Schwab and Noah Harari and, you know, my nemesis, Dr. Robert J. Almond, you know, what their game theory models are really doing and why it was so significant that we finally proved that everything. Every email, every text, every phone call, raw copy has been going to Israel from day one since before 9/11, thanks to General Michael Hayden and all these treasonous Unit 8200 infiltrated telecommunication companies, with the exception of Joseph Nacho of Quest, who was the only one who wouldn't go along with it. But yeah, the reason they were sweeping up all of this stuff is for what they call it their post-free will society, where they're making kill lists and 15-minute cities lists of the New World Order. And if you want to know what their plans for you are, you look at Palestine, look at the West Bank, look at Gaza. You know, those are the 15-minute cities they're talking about. You know, you want to get to work, you got to go through all these checkpoints. And we're going to constantly be changing the rules because we're waging both physical and psychological war on you. We want you broken down so that you can never, ever again, never again, rise up against us. And you know, I think a lot of people are understanding, you know, what all this game theory modeling is about, you know, why they're so interested in where you shop, you know, what you buy. It's because they're going to come up with a social credit score with your name on it. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's clearly where this is going. And I don't know. I try not to buy processed food, you know, and look at that. But I know scores neck. I mean, I've already been completely deleted my main account at Facebook, and that's how they were keeping track of people with before Facebook said, "Oh well, they'll even pay to do it. They'll do it for free." You know, we don't have to pay this. Keep this program, what's it called, LifeLog, going anymore. The DARPA right. Thing, keeping track of all of us. Oh, I don't know. I just can't imagine what they think of me, but I'm trying to care less, honestly, brother. I don't know. It can be overwhelming sometimes. It can, but I'm glad to be here. I'd rather hear from some of the other folks who I haven't heard. Oh, hey, and there you go.
All right. Well, yes, and that's the thing is, you know, your tip of the hat or your show today was terrifying but excellent. I mean, that's one of the things about, you know, your guest and the callers. That was, you know, that was just spot on. So great job. If you haven't gone out, please go to the RBN archives and go back and listen to his show from this morning. Talk about starting the new year off strong. That was a good one. I still got to go listen to the Madman Mike Gatti show I missed earlier today. So I'll have to do that later. So anyway, we are pleased to announce that Miss Monica Schaefer, the other half of those darn Schaefer kids, is now with us. And so, Miss Monica, if you'd like to join the round table and give a quick introduction, and we're up to, we've done Christmas past, so you need to do Christmas past, and now we're in Christmas present. So go ahead and do your Christmas present. So what are those okay. things? And I hope your show went well.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm riding high on a wave of absolute joy, and it was just such a great thing. And I did, I was listening just the last few minutes, and so I heard you talking about, you know, Kwanzaa, and so the theme of, you know, why were we always celebrating other people's cultures and never our own? Well, I'm telling you, I just came back from playing a gig for a really great old-fashioned dance where, you know, there were the organized dances as well as the old-timey polkas and waltzes, but stuff like Virginia Reel or the Sweets of May or the Russian Dance and Sasha and, you know, sashay down with make, head couple make an arch and everybody else comes under and then do-si-do and around you go. And I'm telling you, we had so much fun. And this was a good way to kind of take out the old year and bring in the new year. I know it's a day early, but this was a good old-fashioned country dance in an old two-room schoolhouse in a hamlet just a little ways from here, you know. So really, this it couldn't get any better. It just couldn't get any better. And this is what we have to actually do, you know. I mean, we are in the war, and we're fighting a war. And in between fighting this war, we got to have our own cultural traditions alive and well and just really have fun and enjoy those things. And that's what I just finished doing, and I'm riding high on that.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad you had such a good time. Yes, I heard so many groups around the world getting together for things like that. You know, just, okay, we're going to do our own thing. You know, we're going to celebrate our own culture instead of celebrating everybody else's culture. So that's great. So you know, tell folks real quick about, you know, your work in the truth movement and your...
Okay. Yeah, you know. I can talk about... I'd like to highlight the Truth and Justice for Germans Society. And actually, that segues well with just when I turned on RBN after I got back, just to tune in while I was, you know, taking care of stuff here before I actually got on. I heard you talking with Mike Gaddy, and obviously you had been talking about all the stuff that's been done to the Germans to make them feel so down about themselves and whatnot. So anyway, we have this Truth and Justice for Germans Society, and the website, we put a few articles up there, and just, you know, it's all in the title, isn't it? It's just tell the truth about Germany, and let's, you know, bring back some real justice instead of this phony fake guilt that the Germans still suffer under, and worse than ever. And as you know, they are trotting out more and more books and movies and museums all about that Holocaust, right? And the evilness of the Germans just never seems to wane. And the Germans themselves have become so self-loathing. And I think you talked a little bit about that earlier, didn't you? I just kind of caught a little bit of that. And so that's kind of what I'd like to highlight is in terms of what my focus is. And I'll pass it back to you.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the thing, you know, tell the truth and let the chips fall where they're may. You know, we try to tell the truth and we get shut down. You know, it's like we think the chicken swingers protest us too much. So, all right, so let's jump on to Mr. Casey Whalen. And Mr. Casey Whalen, Christmas present, what is jumping out at you this season?
Yeah, well, recently, today I was researching, and you know, it looks like right now I'm generally a pessimist, but right now I'm kind of shifting to become an optimist because I'm seeing the the SPLC, ADL, DOJ, FBI. To me, it looks like they're starting to scramble. They've had this mechanism they've been working on for a number of years now, and I think with what's going on in Israel, Gaza, they've had to speed things up as far as cracking down on American patriots, more specifically Christians and nationalists, or Christian nationalists, or white nationalists, whatever you want to call it. And it, to me, it looks like they are ramping things up here in the U.S. I wouldn't be surprised to see if we have some we're gonna have some hate speech legislation in Florida. I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing that more in other states this coming year. I'm generally a little concerned, but I think that people are starting to really wake up, and this is giving us something to really grab onto and start talking about the Zionism issue and really get to the crux of the things that are tormenting America.
Right. And yeah, this is what Mr. Breiser was talking about with people becoming aware of the taboo JQ. You know, it's like, okay, why is all of this going on? And people are noticing patterns, and the, you know, shush mechanisms are, you know, really breaking down. And, you know, one of the things, I guess, in my Christmas present of, you know, what's happened since last Christmas and this Christmas is, of course, Elon Musk taking over Twitter and turning it into X and letting people like me back on. And the, you know, the difference, you know, I've been shushed a few times for my bad North Kakalaki sense of humor, but I haven't been permanently banned, you know. And it's interesting that it turns out that it was Appalachian State University who was behind getting me banned from Twitter when Jack Dorsey was in charge, because they didn't like me critiquing their agenda programs, right, making fun of them. So rather than, you know, acknowledging me and combating anything I had to say, they just called Jack Dorsey and said, this person's a problem, you know. It's like, oh yes, this clearly violates our community standards. And it's like, you know, what is untruthful about any of these things I'm saying? And so they are just absolutely loving having me back on Twitter, I'm sure, especially during this happy holiday season, which, yeah, they have just really been, you know, ramping up, celebrating everybody but Heritage Appalachian culture. You know, that's the thing, that they have weaponized this school against the local population. White men need not apply for any of the support positions at this, you know, state-funded university. You know, this is how weaponized it has become. The same thing with the medical syndicate and all the other little things. It's, you know, this is slime mold moving in and taking over your towns. And, you know, one of the things I like about your work is you're showing it at the grassroots level and exposing these people for what they're doing. And so, are you seeing on the ground there people are starting to listen to those, oh, quote unquote, evil anti-Semites on TikTok and Twitter? Or, you know, what are you hearing on the streets there?
You know, really, I think it just seems to me like with what's happened over the last couple of months, people now are not so afraid of speaking what they feel is the truth and not self-censor. I think it's time we have to stop self-censoring here in America. Obviously, we've all been heavily propagandized depending on your age, or you probably throughout your entire life, regardless of your age. But I think now is a very exciting time in history where we have the younger generation that are starting to see through it. And I think we just have to keep pushing. And thanks to some of the other guests who are on here who have kind of paved the way for us to talk about these very taboo topics. And it's definitely the right environment for us to push and globally condemn this.
Right. And that's the thing is, you know, people on this panel have been on the bleeding edge of the truth movement and have paid for, you know, telling the truth. But yet the truth, you know, stands. And that's one of the things about shifting the Overton window. If you can just get the truth out there, it'll stand on its own. When their whole system is based on lies and deceptions, you know, every lie exposed is a weapon lost. And so they're playing a zero sum game of, you know, how many lies they can create, you know, to support their narrative while we're, you know, undermining each one with truth. And, you know, truth is infinite. So, you know, we can just keep adding more truth, but, you know, while we're exposing their, you know, finite number of lies, but, you know, they keep making up lies, but they get more and more ridiculous. And the thing about this group is, you know, they're never going to back down. It's just people got to stop listening to them. But anyway, you are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack, a special roundtable edition. And we will be back after these messages, and we'll be opening up the phone line.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
It's got a hole in it. Yeah, my book, it's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the annual roundtable. Where does the time fly? It's amazing how quickly time flies when you're having fun with good people, right? So anyway, we're down into our last segment, so we're going to open up the phone lines. But first, please, 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 if you still have resource, please donate to RBN. Keep this network and shows like this on the air. So either donate, go out to the donate page, or we're still having the fundraiser for the Stadmiller Library. That's going to keep going until the 11th, I believe. So you still have time to get in on that. But the phone lines, if you want to call into the show, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or toll free 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And Mr. Producer, could we have Mike in Kentucky, please? Mr. Mike, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. No matter where I go, it's just another here, but there you are. Appalachia, I think, is a not to use the political correct terms, but it's a pretty diverse band of peoples from all the way down at Lithia Springs, Georgia. Traditionally, is the end, the tail end of the south end of the Appalachians, all the way up to Maine. There's all kinds of people. I've been throughout eastern Kentucky most of my life and had to put up with the coal hole economy, tearing up the roads, you know, getting car sick, riding around visiting relatives when I was little. And it probably 140 years before there was much money in eastern Kentucky, and that was, it was kind of a joke when people come around and started buying up mineral rights, you know, off people, and I think they defrauded a lot of people out of their mineral rights for their lands, you know, for the coal. I have to wonder if the dang Chinese chestnut blight was an early example of biological warfare, because those people could live off of those chestnuts. They'd feed the pigs the chestnuts, and that's what you had. You had tobacco farming, pig farming, corn farming for the pigs, and gardening. And there were some people that got stuck in the lumber mills before that, you know, lumber barons that had the scrip. They had their own little company store, like Tennessee Ernie Ford's song about coal. Right. They had that for lumber before that, you know, lumber mill towns and stuff. But there was no slaves hardly at all. Nobody could afford slaves in Appalachia. I think even, what's his name, Thomas Jefferson, after the Whiskey Rebellion, there was a rebellion against taxation in eastern Kentucky, and he said something to the effect, well, if them people can live over there, leave them alone. You know, so we're considered a Cumberland Plateau, sort of the foothills of the Appalachians, where I'm calling you from. But we said, when I was growing up, nobody thought anything of calling me boy. I was, that's not my dad's real name, but people would say, there's Joe's boy.
Oh, yeah, that was common. Whose boy are you?
go down to Georgia and say boy and see what happens to you.
Right.
You might get beat up, even to this day, by the crackers or the other guys. But, I don't think there was many slaves in Appalachians. I think some of the escaped slaves might have been taken in and harbored rather than, you know, even before the Underground Railroad. But have you heard of the Melungeons?
Yes, that is a very interesting thread. I want to follow up more. There's definitely some interesting folks in the woodpile, so to speak. Yeah. Who are these groups?
Well, some people think they're the lost Portuguese, and some people say there was a blue Indians that had a specific kind of anemia that were not, you know, red. And so the Melungeons there's a lot of folklore about who the heck are the Melungeons, and a lot of the modern geneticists try to say it's black people mixed in. Yeah. But Kwanzaa, to me, is a distraction on the Christmas present. Kwanzaa is a distraction from Boxing Day. Does anybody know what Boxing Day is? Traditionally,
yes, called and St. Stephen's Day.
Yeah. Exactly. And what did he tell the Sanhedrin?
Yes.
He told them they would be beyond Babylon this time.
Yeah. In other words,
beyond return. Anyway.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Anything else before we let you go?
No, I was just saying it's a huge distraction from Boxing Day and the martyrdom of Stephen, who got stoned for telling them for their idolatry in the Star of
Red. Exactly.
Yeah. So they need to distract from that, because that denigrates the Jews, right? We need to
forget
about Stephen. All right, bye.
All right. Well, you have a good Happy New Year, sir. And we're going to do a show together first of the year, so stay in touch. All right. So let's loop back around to the beginning and Christmas future and final words. I'd just like to thank everyone for attending tonight. And again, thank the production staff of RBN for making this work. I can't believe we got this many people on Skype and it held throughout the show, knock on wood. So Miss Jody Kay, final words and Christmas future, the things that may be or things that will be.
Well, firstly, I just want to say thank you for having me on. When I saw the panel list, I was like, oh, Monica's on, yay. And just to hear everyone been a real honor, so thank you for having me. Christmas Future, I do think things may have to get worse before they can get better, but what is really becoming apparent, and this is something Malefkas touched on, was the man on the street, because the man on the street may not be Christian, the man on the street may not be a patriot or a nationalist, but the man on the street does value their traditions and their culture, even though it might be being propagandized out of them and brainwashed out of them, but it's in their blood. And the term, in inverted commas, anti-Semitic and racist and Nazi and white supremacist, these words are being diluted because the man on the street is now being called these words just for being proud of his tradition or his culture or his heritage. So that's what I see for Christmas Future, is a real change with the narrative and the direction. And I will keep it brief because I know we're short on time, but I just thank you, and I wish everyone a very, very happy new year.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, Mr. Malefkas Scott, final words and Christmas Future.
Excellent words there, Jody. Yeah, excellent. And I'm noticing it a lot. So, So Christmas Future, I want everyone to think back now a few years back to when we first heard about Deagle.com, and the assumptions it made about what the world's population would look like by 2025. Well, we've just about got a year to go, folks, and the UK population apparently was going to get reduced to roughly 16 million from 75. Now, they've either got an awful lot of work to do, or, as GB News has announced yesterday, COVID scientists issue warning that new variant could cause global heart failure pandemic. Well, we all know what's associated with the vaccine, so there's one thing. But let me just point this out to people as I am beginning to think, as if I wasn't already, that Deagle.com was a big pile of fear porn to keep the masses distracted. One of my favorite sayings at the moment is, what's the similarity or the difference between the mainstream and the independent media? Well, it's about 6 months to 2 years, depending on the subject matter. As far as Deagle.com is concerned, and you can't even retrieve it from archive.org anymore, I just want to say that 60 million people in the UK over 1 year, or if it's the end of 2025, 2 years, to quote David Irving, I don't want to be uncouth, but that's an awfully large pile of meat to get rid of. So I would like to project it to the panel, but as we're short on time, Blackbird, Deagle.com, big pile of fear porn or not?
You know, one of the things about this cabal is they always have chutzpah in their designs. They're just going to go in and wipe everything out, and everybody's just going to fall before them. And then when it doesn't work, then they've got to like, well, what went wrong? You know, what do we do this time? You know, it was like the whole Frankfurt School was, you know, designed around what went wrong. You know, the revolution of 1914 was supposed to be worldwide. Why didn't it all fall? You know, who was the weak link, you know? And so with Deagle, and you know, when you put Deagle projections in line with, you know, the Rockefeller, the lockstep program, you know, and the aspirations of Klaus Schwab, you see there's definitely a depopulation agenda. You see that they really have their heart set on having Christianity and white civilization wiped out by 2030, because that's going to be the Great Reset. Just so happens the crucifixion happened in 30 AD, and 2,000 years later, they're big on their numbers. And so the idea of, yes, we want to do this, and that Deagle was projecting this, but then it got, you know, removed, and you know, are the people dropping like they were expecting with their modeling said? And, you know, from my experience, you know, my mother was not with us this year because she died suddenly during the COVID pandemic, because my older brother and older sister had guardianship of her health care, right? And so her well-meaning white coat of Baphomet gave her all the jabs, and she died suddenly from blood clots, right? So there are people dropping suddenly across very suspicious demographics, but are they going to have the numbers they're anticipating before their the system collapses? That's what we're going to see, I guess, unfold in 2024 and 2025. So what do you think of that?
Well, it's just an interesting concept. Because I know we're short on time, so just to wish all your listeners and all the RBN listeners a happy Christmas season and a very, very prosperous and fruitful 2024. And thank you so much for inviting me on with such an esteemed panel. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. And all of you people in the UK staying up late, I appreciate the effort. I know it's late there. Mr. Breiser, final words and Christmas future.
Yes, again, I reiterate, thank you, Blackbird, for inviting me on the show. Great to be here among all these great people. And lots of really good positive stuff going, a lot of good positive vibes. Christmas future, I was talking earlier on about the seven seals of the apocalypse. The first one was the COVID scam. We all got through that one. The second one looks like it's going to get... could get pretty nasty, because the fifth columnists, who are the immigrants that have been brought into our country, could start getting nasty. So stay out of cities and crowded places, I would say. I think we could see something there. I don't know, but we'll see. I think 2028, which would be the third one, would be a massive kind of wealth distribution where the 1% will even get richer and more people are going to get poorer. And the fourth one, where there's going to be natural kind of environmental problems where people, there are floods, droughts, whatever, famine will happen. But the thing is, the whole thing about the seals is it's not about doom and gloom. It's about the message. It's about knowing what's going to happen and being prepared. And once we know, because think about this, all of us around this table, we saw through the scandemic and we got through it, no problem. And we'll get through the rest of them. And it all leads up to 2040, which I think is going to be the great reset, not from Klaus Schwab, but from whatever source or whatever is out there is going to, things are going to change, I think, big time. And I think, it's just about us getting through it, weaving our way through this. I don't think we're going to beat this system. We just have to get through it. It's going to collapse on its own. And hopefully after that, we will go into a golden age. So let's see what happens.
I like that. And yeah. Like I always say, we're in an existential war, and the way to win an existential war is to survive and keep
to
playing.
Survive. Yes. Absolutely.
All right. So, Mr. Mike Gaddy, final word and Christmas future.
Thanks so much, Blackbird, for including me in your group here. And I was just thinking, having been involved in PSYOPs before, and I thought how very terrible... or tough, not terrible, but how tough this must have been for the planners of this scamdemic. Because they had a twofold purpose in my mind. They had to kill a certain amount of people or take people totally out. But they had to be very, very careful, Frederick, because they couldn't kill too many. They had to look at a precipice with this first scamdemic. If you kill too many people, you wake everybody up and nobody will follow your later programs. So this was a real challenge for them. And I think, in essence, looking back at it, I certainly don't agree with any of it, but I think they were fairly successful because they have kept enough people on the emotional brink that when they come with round two, you're still going to have a great number of people who will fall right in line. And that's the thing that I fear for a future Christmas. You, sir.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's the thing. It's, you know, they're all about the numbers and pushing their agenda, but not too quickly. And one of the things that came out last year was about immigration. And there was a, you know, it's hardcore, you know, Zionist Maccabee saying, yes, everything we're doing is right, but we're going about it too quickly. And they're starting to notice, and this could backfire against us. So, you know, they definitely have the agenda. That's what people, you know, have to get their head around, is whether you like it or not, you're at war. You have an adversary that wants you gone, and you have to acknowledge that, you know. So, and thank you again, sir, for giving up your hour of the show today so we can have our roundtable. And as always, look forward to working with you again in 2024. And so let's move on to Mr. Richard Carey. Mr. Richard Carey, last words and final comments, I mean, Christmas future.
Well, likewise, thank you for inviting me on to this end of the year holiday roundtable with so many esteemed panelists who I greatly appreciate the work of. As far as what I might contribute, and I do agree with Mr. Gaddy on his last point that they were relatively successful, unfortunately, with the COVID and lockdown PSYOP. But in the future, regarding Christmas and in general, what to watch out for? Well, we need to keep Christmas and New Year's, for that matter, about the values and traditions that are dear to us, including friends and family. And, well, I could see more and more of a push away, definitely, from Christianity, because it is a symbol that in Christmas of our Western culture. And there's an attack on our culture and white people, Caucasians as well. So, I mean, more and more of a push toward this pseudoscience-worshipping sort of one-world religion. You know, that's not really a religion, a worship of technology, technocracy, a bit of the environmentalism, green agenda psyops, and a lot of guilt splashed on there. So, you know, we can expect that on the horizon, I think, you know, more and more of a push for this pseudoscience-worshipping religion.
Excellent points, and, you know, just exposing the mockingbird apparatus that's pushing it. And I think one of the biggest things is, you know, our body armor, our sword, and our shield. You know, you've got to, you know, protect yourself against psychological warfare, because it does work, but it's like a magician's trick. You know, once you see the trick, then, you know, you can not fall for it, hopefully, you know, but it is very effective. And they, you know, have a big apparatus that, you know, is aimed straight at us. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And go ahead.
Oh, and transhumanism. I meant to stress that. I'm sure that'll be stressed more as the solution for everyone.
Right. And yeah, so many people have this Superman image of what transhumanism is about, that they think, oh, they're going to, you know, level us all up. And it's like, no, they're going to dumb you down into a mongrel that's just stuck in their little Skinner box and comes out to work when they need to work, but otherwise, you know, just plugged into the metaverse, right? You know, so that's the big thing. It's, you know, transhumanism, you know, it's them leveling up, but everybody else getting pushed down. So what would you think to that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree completely. Certainly. Stopping a creative response and analytical independent thought.
Right. And that is the thing. It's a post-free will model where you're not allowed to make your own decisions because you'll make the wrong one. So the system has to make all your decisions for you. All right, Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener, final words and Christmas future.
Well, you know, I was thinking about people in that movie, The Matrix, didn't just climb in those pods. They started carrying them around with them one little piece at a time until they slowly, you know, just became overwhelmed by it. They're going to make us less and less human, I think, is what it's about. Not empowering us. This technology is not about empowering us. It's about enslaving us and replacing us and then wiping the ones they don't need out. I mean, that's the way it looks in the future. I was thinking back on one more Christmas past, too. Things can change quickly, too. I was at Aquatech in 89 when Ceausescu was being overthrown in Romania. And all of a sudden, you know, this empire is teetering, I think, too, in a lot of ways. That this thing's over, this thing in Ukraine really is heating up, and they won't just blow it up. So I don't think we got much more to go with it. You know, I mean, people are not willingly going to fight for this beast anymore, I pray and hope. And I'm very proud to have been on this panel. Thanks very much for inviting me. These bastards wage war by way of deception, and we have to wage peace by way of the truth. Thanks.
There you go. You know, that's the thing. Starve Boz. Starve the beast of Zion. Just don't feed it. It's an insatiable beast, but the more you feed it, the stronger it gets. All right, Mr. Casey Whalen, final thoughts and Christmas future.
Well, I think that, as Jody said, things do have to get worse before they get better. But I think that what's happening is drawing a lot of awareness to regular people. And so that's going to, you know, give them an avenue to speak the truth. And I think that this coming year is going to be tough. Well, you know, we're going to probably see some crackdowns from the federal government, more crackdowns, I should say, by the federal government, impeding on other organizations and patriotic groups. But ultimately, I think that you just got to work together with your neighbor, you know, keep speaking the truth no matter what, and just keep pushing forward and never relenting. We have to just keep it up. And so I want to thank everybody on the panel. I appreciate your hard work over the years, and you know, many of you who were before us gave us an avenue to go down, and so just very thankful to all the great people that are on here today. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for all your great work. Okay, Miss Monica Shea for final words and Christmas future.
Okay, yeah, what an honor it is to be on this panel, and I will definitely go back to the archives to listen to the first hour that I missed. And I so many great points were brought up in this final and Christmas future. Particularly, I was so happy that Jody spoke first, because Jody, you really, really did such a wonderful way of articulating what we have. I'll just add, the noticing is exponential right now, like the noticing of the people. You can talk about things that you couldn't talk about just very shortly ago. Alfred is going to come out in February, so I'm very much looking forward to that. And I say to people, there are many, many good things happening. At the same time, we best buckle up your seatbelt. It's going to be a wild and exciting ride. And I guess, yeah, there are going to be some big things happening. But do something every day in fighting this war, but also do something with joy and laughter every day. Every day that we do that, we are winning. Stay strong, like Breiser said in the chat there. This is these are such exciting times. My brother Alfred, he would say, wow, what a time to be alive.
And what a great way to end the show. Thank you so much. Thanks to all the panel for coming and doing such a wonderful job and all of your hard work. Thanks to all the production staff at RBN for making this happen. Thank you so much to Mr. Mike Gaddy for giving up his hour. And you have been listening to Black Nine Saturday Snack Shack Special Roundtable for the Holidays. And until next time, I will see you all at the Rendezvous.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.